This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Happy Sabbath, Plantation family. We are delighted and honored to join the family of God in this part of the vineyard. Wanna first of all thank Dr. Marsh for his kind words of introduction, for his guidance and leadership and friendship throughout the years in the formation of my own ministry. And I also want to thank the Jays, and let me say it this way. As I looked at it, we have Pastor Joe, Pastor Jen, we have Elder Jack, we have Joey, and then I'm like, okay, this is good, because after J comes K, right? And Jesus. And so I feel as if I'm in the right place at the right time, because just after J comes K. I hope I'm saying my alphabet correctly. Charisse and I, we are delighted for the welcome and the reception into this family. I've had the opportunity to spend some time with Pastors Jen and Joe, and they have been so welcoming, so opening, so welcoming to us, and that has set a tone for us as to what we can expect here in the Plantation family as we work together under the banner of Christ. Today, I come with a prayer on my heart for us as we begin this journey together as God's people. As I assume this role of associate pastor here in this congregation. And so my prayer today is for God's kingdom to come. My prayer is for God's kingdom to come within me, within you, and among us. And so I invite you to join me in prayer at this time. Our God, we thank you so much for your wisdom and your will that unfolds each day in our lives. And today is another unfolding of your will, my transitioning here to this place of ministry, or transitioning Charisse and I to this place of ministry. I pray that your Spirit will guide and lead us in this process, that we can truly bring into our ministry here the kingdom of God. And so today, in my first act of ministry, as I stand now, I stand with the assurance that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because you have anointed me to preach. And so as I preach your word today, feed your sheep through me, in Jesus' name, amen. So as I look in the Gospel of Matthew, I find that John the Baptist began his ministry by preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus began his ministry by preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I found it appropriate and thought it worthy that I would stand, in a sense, in that same tradition of beginning my ministry here by proclaiming the kingdom of God. And our sermon today, entitled Your Kingdom Come, is what I hope to, in the year to come, unfold on a series on kingdom life. A series on life in the kingdom of God. But today, the sermon I bear on my heart is more than that. It is a prayer I bear on my heart as I come into this family. A prayer I bear for all of us, that God's kingdom will come. As I read the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of God emerges as the dominant and focal image through which Jesus teaches, preaches, and does ministry. Jesus uses the image, the symbol of the kingdom of God to package his ministry. And he also made it a focal point of prayer. A matter of fact, the model prayer, which we often call the Lord's Prayer, is at the center of Jesus' teaching on principles of the kingdom of God. As we read in Matthew, we find Jesus standing in the tradition of Moses, as Moses stood on the mount and called the people of God to him and relayed to them the covenant of God. Jesus stands in this tradition. And he calls the people, the disciples, he calls everyone to him. And then he begins to outline the principles of God's kingdom. Matthew 5 through 7. And at the center of Jesus' unfolding of the kingdom's principles, we find the model prayer. Jesus, in this model prayer, taught his disciples to pray, how to pray as an act of righteousness rather than an act of selfishness such as performed by the hypocrites. In the model prayer, Jesus outlines God's agenda in three petitions. And again, at the center of those three petitions, we find Jesus praying for the kingdom of God to come. Jesus says, "Your kingdom come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." But the question is, what does it mean for God's kingdom to come? When we pray, Father, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, what are we asking God for? For us to understand that prayer petition, we first have to understand what the term kingdom means. Now, while the term kingdom may refer to an area that is under royal rule, it also has another reference. And this is the reference which I call our attention to today. The kingdom of God, the kingdom may refer to an area under royal rule, but it may also refer in particular to royal reign or royal rule. Keep that in mind. It may also refer in particular to royal reign or rule. And so, what does it mean then by implication? That God, we are praying for God's kingdom to come. When we pray the petition, your kingdom come, we are asking God for a manifestation of God's sovereign and divine reign and rule over all creation. That's what we're saying to God. We're saying to God, God, make a manifestation of your divine rule and reign as a sovereign being over the universe. That's what we are asking for. But let's push it a little further. What are we really saying when we pray, your kingdom come? Let's wrestle with it as we consider God's agenda in this portion of the prayer. The model prayer begins with what appears at first to be praise to God. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Or Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. At first, this may sound as if we are praising God, giving praise to God's name, as if we are declaring God's name to be holy, which it really is. But if we take a look at the sentence, if we take a look at the grammatical construction of the sentence in the Greek language, we find that this is more a petition than it is praise. We find that it is more a petition than it is praise. So instead of us attributing praise to God's name, we are actually affirming holiness to God's name. Let me say that again. This is more a petition than praise. And so instead of us attributing holiness to God's name, instead of saying, "Holy is your name," we are actually affirming the holiness of God's name by saying, "God, demonstrate that your name is holy." Oh, help me, Jesus. Take your time, boy. Take your time. We ain't going nowhere yet. This is more a petition than it is praise. And so when we pray, "Your kingdom come," when we say, "Hallowed be thy name," we are making a request of God for God to demonstrate God's sovereign reign and rule over creation. Yes, there is a sense of praise, but I want to call you to the petition. When we pray, "God, your kingdom come," we are asking God, the sovereign being and ruler, the one who reigns over all the universe, we are saying, "God, do something to prove, to affirm, to confirm. Somebody is doubting whether your power is still available." But we are saying, "God, hallowed be your name." We are saying, "Your kingdom come." We are saying, "God, show how mighty you are." I tell you, brothers and sisters, I tell you, beloved, that in this world, there are instances, circumstances, and events which suggest to us that God has lost God's power. But I just want to remind you, I just want to pray for you, I just want to pray as we come together in this ministerial relationship, in this partnership in the kingdom. When I pray, "Your kingdom come," I am asking God to stand tall and demonstrate God's sovereign power in our world, in our church, and in our lives. I don't know, but for some people, the coronavirus has suggested that this world is without the power of God. For some people, the financial crisis has suggested that God has no longer owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and God is no longer the one who is able to provide all that we need according to God's riches and glory. But I want to affirm today in prayer, I want to affirm God's power. I want to affirm God's sovereignty. I want to affirm God's rule. Because when God's kingdom come in this world, there is a demonstration of power. When God's kingdom came in Jesus, Jesus was the embodiment of God's kingdom. And when he came, he healed the blind man. He walked on water. And he even raised up Jairus' daughter. Can I tell you that when the kingdom of God comes in power, we will see demonstration of God's power. In this world, God's power comes, and hear me clearly. God's power comes as a disruptive force to the ways of the world. When we pray God's kingdom come, we are asking for a demonstration of God's power as a disruptive force in the world to come and disrupt the systems of injustices in this world. We are asking God to come in power, in the power of justice, peace, rightness, righteousness, and mercy. We are praying. When we pray your kingdom come, we are asking God that God's righteous reign and rule will be manifested among us. So, when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are saying, "God, we know you are powerful." We are not questioning the power of your name. We are not questioning the holiness of your name. What we are actually doing is affirming it and asking you, God, to affirm it by demonstrating how powerful you are. Can I tell you something? What the church lacks is not power. The church is not lacking power. Jesus says, all power, help me now. Jesus says, all power has been given unto me. And the power that I have that has been given unto me, I have given unto you. What we lack right now as a church is confidence in the power of God. Amen. Have you been in the place, a place in your life when things get so challenging, so rough and so tough that you wonder, is God's power able to work in this situation? Is God's power able to work in this circumstance? Reminds me of Moses and the children of Israel as they found themselves captives in Egypt. They questioned whether God, this God, who is this God? Even Pharaoh questioned. But God's demonstration of power in liberation brought out Israel from captivity and made them God's chosen people. Hear me, beloved, there is no lack of power in this church. And when we pray, your kingdom come and God's power is revealed in this church and among us, I'm going to tell you, this church will be the church triumphant. So when we pray, your kingdom come, one of the things we are saying is that God is powerful. God is the sovereign being of the universe. And God's kingdom come in a way that disrupts the ways we live. It disrupts our world. But let's go a little further. What does it mean when we pray, your kingdom come? Well, the model prayer also begins by addressing God as Father. Our Father in heaven. Now, the prayer names God as Father in a way to describe our relationship with God and God's responsibility toward us as a sovereign being of the universe. But we notice also that the prayer locates God in heaven. Our Father in heaven. But the fact that the prayer locates God in heaven doesn't mean that God is some distant being like the clockmaker God of deism. It doesn't mean that God is like the God of deism, like a great clockmaker who winds up the cosmic process and leaves it to function on its own, and God is not present in the midst of it. Let me be very clear. That is not the God whom we serve. The God whom we serve is a present help in the time of trouble. The God who we serve is the God who took on humanity and dwelled among us in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so when we are praying, your kingdom come, one of the things we are doing is invoking God's presence among us. We are invoking God's presence to be among us. And it's not as if we are summoning God like some deity who needs to be beckoned from the bellows of the earth. When we invoke God's presence, we are not saying God is absent from our midst. We are actually asking God to show up in ways that confirm God's presence among us. Because sometimes in life, when you are going through some circumstances and situations, you feel as if you are alone and God is not there with you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt as if you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death? But just in the right moment, just in the nick of time, God shows up and you begin to pray. You begin to pray, God, the Lord is my shepherd. Hear me, beloved. You are not alone. We are not alone. And so my prayer in joining and coming into this family of Plantation is your kingdom come. I'm praying that among us, in our midst, God's presence will be evident. And the greatest evidence of God's presence among us is the moving of the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I'm praying that in this place and on all of us and all of you, the power of God will reign as of the day of Pentecost, and people will know that God is alive and present in our midst. When I pray your kingdom come, I am invoking God's presence in a way that will demonstrate God's presence to show that God is indeed with us. We don't have to search for God. We don't have to look for the left. We don't have to look for to the right. And I'm going to pick that up in another sermon. But just for now, it's important for us to recognize that God's presence, when we pray, your kingdom come, we are invoking and inviting God's presence in the midst of us as a people, as a community of faith. And that's what I hope for. That if nothing else is seen among us, if nothing else is felt among us, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit must move among us. It must move in the ways in which we relate to each other. It must move in the ways in which we engage in ministry. It must move, the power of the Holy Spirit must move in the ways in which we engage the community. Your kingdom come. God, show that you are here with us. That's what I'm saying. That's what we are saying. But let me take it a little further. Yes, it's true. When we pray your kingdom come, we are saying, God, affirm your power, your sovereignty. We are affirming God's sovereign power. And indeed, when we pray your kingdom come, we are invoking and inviting God's presence, evidence and manifestation of God's presence among us. But let us go a little further. Because the model prayer also places priority on God's will. Here it is. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The petition, your will be done, is the desire, it expresses a desire for God's will to be manifest on earth. So the question then is, how do we know God's manifest will? How do we know what God requires of us as a people, as a community of faith? How do we know what God wants of us to do? How God wants us to be as a community of faith? One of the ways to know God's will is to know the principles of God's kingdom. One of the ways to know God's will is to know the principles of God's kingdom. For God's will, rather, is expressed in the principles of God's kingdom. The will of God is not hidden from us. The will of God can be ascertained, it can be known. And we know the will of God through the principles of God's kingdom. May I take a moment to tell you about the principles of God's kingdom? I told you earlier that Jesus, in teaching his disciples to pray, sat in the tradition of Moses. As Moses revealed the covenant requirements of God to the people of Israel and Mount Sinai, so Jesus sits on the mountain, calls his disciples to him, and says, here is how we will live in the kingdom of God. These are the principles of the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, it is the poor in spirit to whom God's kingdom belongs. I don't know about you, but I'm praying that you'll be poor in spirit. I'm praying that you'll be poor in spirit, because when we are poor in spirit, when we long for God, when there is a lacking in our souls, then the kingdom of God comes to us. The kingdom of God can't come to us if we have no space for the kingdom of God. Yes, in God's kingdom, it is those who mourn who are comforted. If we find ourselves in a place where we are not in touch with our humanity, in touch with all that we go through, it is difficult for us to see and experience the kingdom of God in the ways that God demonstrates the kingdom. And I'm going to say much more about that later on. In God's kingdom, It is the meek who inherit the earth. In God's kingdom, it is those who hunger and thirst after righteousness who shall be filled. In God's kingdom, it is the merciful who shows mercy. In God's kingdom, it's the pure in heart who will see God. It's the peacemakers who are called the children of God. It is those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake who belong to the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, hear me now. It is those who shine their light and lead others to glorify God that are in the kingdom. In God's kingdom, it's those who seek first the kingdom of God and not worry about tomorrow, to whom the kingdom belongs. And I want to pitch a tent right here. In God's kingdom, it is those who take the log out of their eyes who are able to see and take the speck out of their neighbor's eye. In God's kingdom, it is those who are able to take the log out of their eye before trying to take the speck out of the neighbor's eye who will not be judged. Hear me, beloved. Jesus says, everyone who hears the word of God and acts upon them is like a wise person who builds a house, and when the wind and the rain comes and all this the storm and the tumult comes, that person stands because they are built on the word of God. Hear me, beloved. When we say your kingdom come, we are suggesting to God, we are saying to God, we are expressing a desire or our soul's desire to submit to the kingdom of God. It is one thing to affirm the power of God's kingdom. It is one thing to invoke the presence of God. But it is another thing to submit ourselves to the principles of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, the only way God's kingdom comes, the way God's kingdom becomes a reality, is when you and I, all of us together as disciples, submit to the kingdom. That's the only way God's kingdom can truly come. We can pray all day, your kingdom come. We can affirm God's power. We can invoke God's presence. But until we come to a place in our spiritual walk, in our lives, where we are saying, God, I submit to the principles of the kingdom, then the kingdom will fail to be a reality among us. So what does it look like when we submit to the kingdom of God? When we submit to the kingdom of God, we don't only pray for our daily bread. We take every opportunity to give daily bread to someone else. I hope we hear this one. When we submit to God's kingdom, when we pray your kingdom come, we don't only pray for our daily bread. We consider how we are wasteful in our stewardship. When we pray your kingdom come and we submit to the principles of God, we don't ask for forgiveness without recognizing that we also need to forgive. When we submit to God's kingdom, we don't just pray for deliverance from evil, but we also do not set traps for others to fall in. When we pray your kingdom come, we are submitting to the will of God in our lives as a church, as a community of faith. And my hope and my dream, my passion, my desire is that one thing I dare desire and one thing I dare to accomplish as I join this family of faith, is that the kingdom of God will come among us. The kingdom of God will come in power, in God's presence, and in us submitting to God's principles. That's the only way our prayers can become a reality. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he told them, listen, there are some people who pray by sounding an alarm. Then they go out on the street to get the attention of everyone, and then they pray with repetitious words. But here is how disciples of the kingdom pray. When we pray, we are not looking for attention. We are not praying in a selfish manner. We are praying as an act of righteousness, an act of righteousness that invites and welcomes God's principles in our lives, submitting to the ways in which God desires to work in the world. That's what, when we pray, your kingdom come, that's what we are saying. We are saying we are submitting to God's power, to God's presence, and to God's principles. And if through my leadership, relationships, and engagement with you, I can affirm the presence of God, affirm God's power, invoke God's presence, and invite you to submit to God's principles, then my task on earth is done. If through my engagement and relationship with you and leadership, I can have you know that God is still the sovereign being of this universe, if I can have you realize that you are not alone on this journey of life, that God's presence is with you, if I can let you know that we're not going to live, and among people, there's a tendency to live by preferences. Some people, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And then there's some people who like to live by practices. This is how it has always been, and so we're not going to change it. And then there's some people who live by policy. This is the policy, and policies are created by human beings, and sometimes, being created by human beings, they eventually unfold with unjust principles within those policies. But there's something about the principles of God's kingdom. They are the expressed will of God. And so I come here not to live by my preference, not to live by your practice, not to live by your policies, but by the principles of God's kingdom. And my desire as your pastor is to lead you to submit to the principles of God's kingdom. Not my preferences, not my individual practices, not the policies that are out there, but to the principles of God's kingdom. And so I'm inviting you to join me in prayer. Pray with me, God. Show your power. God, show your presence. God, in all of the showing of your presence and your power, help me to submit to your principles, because the living out of God's principles are the best way to demonstrate God's power and presence in the world. Submitting to God's principles is the best way to affirm God's power and invoke God's presence in the world. So while the prayer invites us to go into a closet and pray, I'm inviting us to come out and to live this prayer. May this prayer become a mandate for how we live and interact in this ministerial relationship. When we pray, your kingdom come, and I invite you to pray with me that God's power, God's presence will be evident through our submission to God's principles of the kingdom. So let us pray as Jesus taught us, taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And all of God's people say, amen. 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 Amen.
You were the Word in the beginning. one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You reign for you.
beloved. Join together in prayer. As I said, I bear on my heart a prayer for us as we come into this ministry relationship in this place of the vineyard. And so today I send you out to live this prayer that through the submission, your submission to God's principles in your life, the world around us may experience God's power, may experience God's presence. And so, Lord, may your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.